Kurt joins us here in studio. If you have a question or a comment for Kurt, you can hashtag Ask the AD, set it off on your Twitter account. We will spot it there at our KTAK 931 FM account. Or send us a commercial tire text at 424-9300. Welcome aboard, Kurt. And as usual, Dave has come in with his questions about when will we know football times? When will we know football days? When does ESPN let you know? Because we're getting closer, are we not now?
We're close. You know, I just wanted to comment on your upgrade on the co-host here.
You like that?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute, over college?
I never know who you're going to get when Prater's gone. So when I heard Dave's name, I was excited to come in. But, yeah, they're talking as we speak. So they're I think they're close. We'll probably hear something within the next, you know, week or two. I'm hoping.
Walk us through the process of how that works. And do you, is most of this at the conference level and they dictate to you, to the individual schools, or is it a completely collaborative with conference schools and television? How does it all fall into place?
Well, we're involved a little bit, but the conference doesn't decide the times or the days. The networks do. So it's basically, you know, kind of ESPN, CBS, and the conference with everybody's wish list. You know, you kind of
right.
You put that in
advance. They know that.
Yeah, our wish list of every Saturday at 1 o'clock. I'm not sure that's gonna happen, but we should know something here in the next couple of weeks. I've been in contact with the guys at the conference and kind of told them what we'd like to see. I do know right now that, and you guys probably know this, BYU is on Thursday, mm-hmm. and then UNLV is going to be moved to Friday. So that's a home game, yeah, Friday. And then there's a possibility of one more home game on Friday, but not too sure yet, and then we'll see the rest of the schedule.
So, you know, so the UNLV out. Move is semi-official?
Semi-official.
All right. Yeah, semi-official. And that game was scheduled for the 18th of November. I don't have a calendar in front of me.
It's the Friday before Thanksgiving.
Right.
Yes.
And you have a Friday game the day after Thanksgiving at Air Force.
Yeah.
So that gives you.
Yeah, correct. And that's not in stone. That's just kind of something we've talked about a little bit. I mean, I'm hopeful that, you know, I think I heard you guys talking on the way over here. You know, Dave, you mentioned something about that Friday night game. If it's going to be late, maybe it is better on Friday. I tend to agree with you. The problem with the Friday game is, you know, it shortens the weeks depending mm-hmm. on who you're playing the week before. If you're playing Saturday the week after, then you get an extra day of preparation. And so I'm hopeful that, you know, it can be balanced out. I think we played 6 Friday night games last year.
Right.
And that's just tough for planning, especially if they're not, you know, in consecutive weeks. So, like I said, sometimes you'll have 6 days and sometimes you'll have 8 days, just depending on who follows or who's before.
Last year, the conference kind of carved out a Friday night niche. Boise State was obviously a front and center representative of
right.
that, but they had a game on some network or another prime time Friday night, and they tried to brand it that way.
Correct. And, you know, when you're late on Saturday, you had mentioned, you know, it's late, you get home at midnight, I get all that. Believe me, that's not something, and I've said it before, that's not something that we're in favor of. But, you know, you also think about if it's on a Saturday night late, you know, you got people everywhere that have been watching football for 12 hours, and then you got this, you know, 8:30 kick in Boise, Idaho, or wherever it might be. And so, you know, if you are going to play a late game, maybe it is better on Friday, but I think the negative to that is that you just don't know what's around it. So what's before it and what follows it the next week. And for us, you know, our team getting prepared, that's pretty important. And, you know, many times when these decisions are made, that part's not considered. So we're hopeful that it'll come out right. We don't have a lot of control over it, like I said before. But, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing what they come up with.
Boise State Athletic Director Kurt Apsey joining us here in studio. Jeff Caves along with Dave Harbison. So what we will find out in the next week or two, Kurt, is games moved to certain days. Will they release, as they have in the past, a handful of game times that won't be moved? Because it seems like the majority of these game times increasingly are coming up that in that 10-day window or 2-week window or whatever it is.
Well, I think the days will be determined. The times, I'm not sure. I think you might get a couple, you know, maybe you'll get all of them, but that doesn't mean they're going to stay that way.
Right.
So I wouldn't put too much ownership on the final times. The day part, usually stays the same. You don't get a 12-day, warning that they're going to change the game from 6 o'clock to 8:30. What you might get, or I'm sorry, you'll get that part, but you're not going to get a 12-day notice that you're actually going to change days. So
right.
you'll see the days, determined, here whenever it is we get that. I'm not sure how many of the times we'll know, though.
Typically, though, the games that are on CBS Sports Network or the Mountain West Network or those kinds of things, mostly the road games,
right.
those are more likely to be locked in. It's ESPN with the home games that wants that flexibility.
Correct. And, you know, ESPN may look to swap it. They might say, right. hey, we have that game, but we want to have that other game, and we want to move it to Friday, so then CBS jumps in and grabs mm-hmm. that broadcast. So, and that's, I think, what they really talk about the most when they're going through this with the conference. And like I said, the conference does a nice job of getting everybody's input. You know, they'll call us and say, hey, we're thinking about doing this, want to get your feeling on it. Gives me a chance to talk to our coach, you know, keep him involved in it. And, you know, at the end of the day, I've got to look at two things. What's the best schedule for our team to be successful? And then I've also got to look at it from a financial standpoint. And I probably tend to look a little bit more at the financial, and Harsh maybe looks a little bit more at when the games are being played. But, you know, for the most part, it's sometimes we don't agree. And, you know, ultimately I've got to make that decision, but I certainly make sure that I get his feelings on it and his reasons why, and I try to take that into consideration when we're making a final decision.
And fans have their own opinions too, and if we were to attach a poll to the incoming emails and phone calls or in-person visits to the ticket office or your office and took a poll on, is it the day of the week that you're upset at, ma'am, or is the game time, sir? What seems to be the thing that gets fans riled up the most?
Game time, no doubt, at least from my standpoint. I mean, football's on Friday and Saturday night nowadays. I don't think a Friday night game is now. If
football's
you move it to
every night.
You know, a Wednesday or a Tuesday, that's a little weird. But Friday and Saturday college football, I mean, that's
where we're at.
That's where we're at. Nothing new. And you know, if you're going to play at night, hopefully it is on a Friday or Saturday night. You certainly, you know, the BYU game on Thursday night, I think that brings a little more interest, obviously. So I don't think that's going to affect that game that much. But, you know, for the most part, I think they're more concerned about what time we play instead of the day.
All right. Dave had this question about the men's golf program, since we're sitting here with the Masters bathing in it, some distracted by it. Productivity is definitely being affected around here. And you do ban people from bringing iPads and plugging in headphones at their desks at the Boise State Athletic Department, right?
We do not. No, we've got the Masters on.
Oh, JP, there's a job
Thank
for you.
You. Kurt. Thank
there's
you.
A job for
yeah.
you.
But I would say this, you know, there's a lot of people that just, they don't like to watch golf. So you either like to watch it or you don't.
Not around here. There's
yeah,
a lot of golf going on.
We've got them on, but if I thought that was a distraction in any way, I certainly would tell everybody to turn it off, but I don't have a problem with that.
But it brings us to golf, all right, and the ultimate growth in a cold climate, a place to have a golf program. I just looked back, Kurt. I don't follow it that well, but I saw that San Diego State, I think we said, Dave, won last year. New Mexico won the year before. And I was surprised that one particular year, Boise State really wasn't that competitive in like 2014, if you will. Mm-hmm. So where's the ceiling to build a golf program at a school like Boise State, given our resources and who we are and where we're located?
Well, I think for us, the key to it right now is for us to be able to put together a plan to build some type of indoor practice facility.
Oh.
Because, you know, from the month of mid-November through, I'll just say, March 1st, for example. I mean, sometimes we play in January, but let's just say it's for that 3.5 month period. It would be nice for us to have a facility where our guys could practice every day. And there's just some days where, regardless, you know, you just can't be outside. And I think that hurts them, because I think programs that you see across the country that are doing well with their golf programs are the programs where kids can play year round. And so I think that's important for us. We're actually looking into that. The good thing about golf, in my opinion, is, you know, we've got a lot of people that are involved with that sport that have the financial capability to help our program out. And so we've reached out to a lot of those people. Dan Potter, our new golf coach, is doing a fantastic job reaching out to guys in the community that have an interest in golf. And we're talking about a facility. We've got some designs going right now. We don't have a final of how we want to do it or where it could go. There's some possibilities of maybe some local golf courses, you know, taking on something like that and working with us, or maybe doing something on campus or something in the surrounding area. You know, you you also don't want to build something that's 45 minutes away. So, I mean, I think you got to be a little careful on your planning there. But for me, the practice situation for our guys and our gals is pretty important. I think that's probably the next step.
What does it look like? This. I know what an indoor football facility tries to accommodate.
You can do a couple things. I've seen some where you'll have a putting green in there. You'll have sand traps. You'll have swing simulators. You'll have hitting nets. Mm-hmm. Some will have all that stuff, and then maybe a big garage door that opens up and it can hit out to a space. So I think, you know, having that hitting bay where you can actually hit a golf ball 200 yards would probably be the most desirable, because then you're not just hitting into a net. There's a heck of a lot of difference, you know, practicing your swing, hitting into a net, or actually hitting it outside. So depending on where it's located, that'll probably determine, you know, what kind of facility that might be. But there's been some really, really nice facilities built around the country that, you know, aren't too expensive until you start adding, you know, locker rooms and social areas and restaurants and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Ohio State, I think, just built one recently that's really nice. Oregon State just finished one, I think, a couple years ago that's nice. But those are both indoor practice facilities where guys are and gals are chipping and putting and swinging and getting it filmed and, you know, breaking down the swing and club speed and, I mean, all that kind of stuff. And so if we could get something like that, that's going to do two things. It's going to allow our players to practice year-round, and I think it's going to be an unbelievable asset in the recruiting. So
the back-end piece of that, of facilities and finance, is obviously important, but you just hit on the lifeblood of any program, and that's the recruiting. How much does Troy Merritt winning on the tour and playing in the Masters and what Graham DeLette's done, how much exposure does that bring to your program and maybe help recruiting a little bit?
I think it brings a lot, but I think it's also important that our coaches are not only maintaining the relationships with those two guys. You know, Tyler Aldridge is out there also playing on tour. So we've got some guys out there that have been really, really successful. Neither one of those two played for our current coaching staff, but they know him well. And, you know, I stay in touch with Graham and Troy a lot. Those are really, really good guys just overall. They love the Broncos. They've both helped out in some way already. We want to keep them tied into the program, and I think it's an asset. I mean, I don't think it's any different in other sport. If you can say that you've got guys that went through your program that are actually playing professional, that's got to be an asset in the recruiting. So.